Welcome to Volante Elevate, where we explore what the world of payments will look like tomorrow by talking to the experts who are building it today. Your host for each episode, Volante's Chief Marketing Officer, Vinay Prabhakar. Ready to take your payments IQ to new heights? Let's get started.
In today's episode of Volante Elevate, we are going to be speaking with Samantha Gordon of Glenbrook and asking the question, are the robots taking over? It's going to be about AI and B2B and corporate payments, about the impacts of these new technologies on corporate banking and specifically B2B payments, because we do have already significant changes that we're seeing in the world of consumer and retail payments. So the question is, how is this going to affect the corporate world? But before we start, Samantha, I have a very important question for you.
Yes.
Samantha Gordon, you are a human. Is that correct?
I am. I am, and I will take a CAPTCHA test to prove it.
You are not a robot. Okay, very good. And just for the record, I'm also not a robot. So we have two humans talking to each other. That's important these days because one never knows. So Samantha, thank you so much for joining us in Volante Elevate.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Standard beginning for us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in the world of AI and payments.
Yeah, so my name is Samantha Gordon. I'm a consultant at Glenbrook Partners. We're a management consulting firm focused solely on the payment industry, but I've actually worked touching payments for about 12 years from a bunch of different angles, both at a merchant and primarily from the provider side at Adyen, the payment processor, Riskified, focusing on fraud and chargeback protection, and for a few years at Block back when it was Square. But I've been at Glenbrook for the past few years now, over on the consulting side, where I get to work in payments all the time. And it's a great job because I get to spend my working hours diving really deep into cool new topics and learning all about what's happening in new in payments. So as I said, we're a management consulting firm focused fully on the payments industry. In my practice, I work primarily with what I'll call commercial payments, as opposed to new payment systems or financial inclusion in developing markets, which we also do. But I work with merchants, PSPs, card networks, and other FIs on all types of things within the topic of payments, often with an eye towards optimization, either their performance or team performance and efficiency, or market trends in the industry. And of course, a really big trend, which is casting a very long shadow when we're thinking about optimization, is AI.
And with regard to AI, I mean, it's no surprise we're all interested in AI, right? But just tell us a little bit about how you got into that yourself, right? Maybe not even with regard to payments initially. Obviously, payments and AI and payments is a professional focus for you. But, you know, what made you take this on as an area of interest?
You know, it kept coming up. I think it's pretty organically in the last couple of years. You actually had reminded me when we spoke a couple of weeks ago that we're celebrating the 2-year anniversary or birthday of ChatGPT.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for the past few years, you know, hearing about new AI functionality, it's pretty unavoidable in the industry. We hear it when we get briefings from different players in the industry. Everyone's using AI and machine learning to, you know, bump up their technology. Merchants, different clients wanted to start developing AI strategies. I think a lot about payments fraud. So of course, AI is super relevant in that world, both in terms of what are fraudsters doing with AI technologies and all of the different threat vectors that have really just been turbocharged by using AI tools. And also on the other side, what can, you know, the white hats, the good guys, do with AI to combat all of these developments?
So there's a lot to unpack here, a lot of different areas to get into. But because this is relatively new, right, for many of us in payments, maybe we can just start out with some basic terms. You know, could you define some of the terms that we should all be thinking about, terms that we might read and not quite understand? And then we can get into how they apply to payments.
No, of course. And I think this is an example, as are a lot of things in payments, but this in particular, it's important to be really precise and really crisp about what we're talking about when we're talking about AI in the world, because truly AI, artificial intelligence, is technology. It's not a product. And I think that's something important to establish. This is a piece of technology. But there are a lot of different forms of AI along maturity curve, and there's a lot of applications for this technology that are both old and brand new. So lately, the past couple of years, the chat GPTs of the world, everything we're really buzzy about, this is about generative AI. And I'll define that term in a second. But taking a step back, artificial intelligence isn't all that new. You can actually trace it back to the early days of computing. So start with early heuristic models and expert systems. These are essentially models that are programmed to simulate human behavior and how do humans solve problems and then apply that reasoning to bodies of existing work. And at this point, this was using work that has been completed and pre-vetted by experts. So your sources are good. But this is really how to helping researchers solve problems faster, trying to make a machine think like a human. And this is the start of what we think of as traditional AI. So fast forward a few years, as this technology has advanced, traditional AI models have been getting more and more sophisticated as we've added machine learning and deep learning capabilities. And where that's landed is with, again, traditional AI, but AI tools that are able to take in and analyze huge amounts of data from all different sources, and then use that data to draw connections and solve problems in the way that a human brain might, just faster. And again, with more data points that it's able to manage, but we're still kind of aping human behavior. So this is all, and I want to be clear too, you know, we think of this as first gen or early gen, but this is all very impressive and very sophisticated. Deep learning models are hugely powerful. But these, what's important to keep in mind is these models still require some human input because they're drawing connections and running analyses and approaching the data in a way that's based on rules or parameters that are set by researchers working with
them. So if I could just ask a question about that, just to make sure I'm understanding some of the terminology here. You mentioned deep learning, and I think that's been around for a little while. Gen AI seems new, though. Is it just a different name for the same thing? Is it something new? How is it different? Can you contrast those two for us?
That's a great question. And the answer is it's an evolution. And there are a couple things about Gen AI that are fundamentally different. So whereas machine learning, deep learning are hugely powerful, there's still a human training the model and sometimes correcting the model, directing its attention, so to speak. But this isn't the AI that we're thinking of that when we talk about AI jumping out of the computer, that's Gen AI. What's special about Gen AI is that it's not dependent on rules or parameters that are set by a human researcher or programmer. It doesn't need that human interference. And Gen AI also doesn't need a defined data set. So that's a really material difference from AI technology in the past, because Gen AI has some unique capabilities to both learn, so training itself without human input, and also to generate new content based on what it learns. So these are the new capabilities that are really exciting that have been emerging over the last couple of years with Gen AI tools.
And just to, not that we want to spend the whole episode talking buzzword bingo, but LLM, what's an LLM? Just to help us understand that.
In this context, an LLM is a large language model. So this is thinking about less my area of expertise, to be totally honest, but large language models are starting to think about syntax. Again, think about the difference between writing computer code and you and I having a conversation. This is where how AI capabilities are evolving.
Okay, so if we now move forward a little bit into payments, I'm just trying to put the picture here together. It's probably fair to say, and we're going to go through some examples today, that in payments, there are aspects of all of these that probably need to come together, right? Perhaps deep learning to look at large data sets, payment flows, and so on. chat style generative AI, and then perhaps LLMs to make interactions more conversational, something like that. So let's, instead of speculating, maybe before actually we go into some of those examples, maybe we should ask the question, why now, right? Why is this so relevant now, particularly for the banking and financial services industry?
Yeah, and you know, a part of that is novelty, right? This is a new, very powerful technology that's coming on the scene. So of course, people are curious to explore. We haven't quite landed on what exactly are the best use cases, what exactly can we do, or even the limits of this technology yet. So part of it, I think, is interest and novelty. Backing up a step, though, and banking is a great lead into this, so thank you. I think the reason that Gen AI and AI, too, are so relevant right now is, you know, at this point in time, is that we're sitting at the intersection of two trends. The growth of computing power, so the AI technology evolution, and also increases in digitization in our financial lives. So we just talked a lot about the AI development side, but digitization is such an important enabler for what we're seeing today. And when I say digitization, again, defining my terms, I'm talking about everything from the growth of e-commerce, where we're buying more and more goods and services over the internet. We're buying groceries over the internet. And this is also due in large part to newer payments technologies like open banking, instant payments, even cryptocurrency to a degree, which means more digitization and more digital data about our financial lives as a result. And so, of course, the unintended consequence of digitization is this absolutely massive, massive volume of data out there kind of in the ether, but really on the internet and in the cloud. And I'm talking about data exchanged and data at rest. So this is stored card credentials, email addresses, passwords, photos, videos, lots of personal information that's stored on different sites you visit and interact with. And some of this data is public. And a lot is private, but private data, as we know, is susceptible to leaks. I'll actually give you a number here. In 2023 alone, so last year, there were more than 3,000 publicly reported data compromises that impacted 350 million people in the U.S. And I want to emphasize
3,000?
3,000. And I want to emphasize a point here that this is what's publicly reported. Oh, so let's assume this is a low count.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that I was in 2,900 of those 3,000 because I'm getting those messages every day saying my data has been breached. But that is a staggering number, actually.
It's a staggering number. So our data is out there. Now, let's thinking back in the AI context, though, what are digitized, you know, financial, personal, professional lives? It's all out there. What this represents is actually a huge unstructured data set, right? And this is where that intersection comes in that I alluded to before, because now we have tools using those Gen AI technologies that can handle massive unstructured data sets. So before, we had less data out there and AI tools that needed more structure and parameters and human input to analyze data sets effectively. But now we're at the point when the evolution of both those tracks, where we have this huge data set of unstructured information and AI technology that can take advantage of it.
So it is that perfect storm, right? The data that now exists and is continually flowing, right? Across networks, our phones, the cloud, as well as the algorithms and the computing power, right? Not just the ability to store that data, but the CPUs that can run fast enough to actually process it all in real time. It's kind of a scary thought. So I think that's terrific background. You know, let's now get into the main topic, right? Corporate payments, banks and financial institutions. What are some of the use cases, applications? I know it's early days, but I think there is stuff out there that's coming up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I alluded to this earlier, but fraud's a huge area where we think about AI, again, positively and negatively. We hear a lot about on the, you know, let's say the negative side, we hear a lot about the threats of AI and Gen AI, generative AI powered fraud attacks. But again, and this is a theme I'll probably come back to, this is a piece of technology. It's a double-edged sword. And we're also seeing AI technology employed for fraud mitigation. I'll give you an example, actually, from a recent conversation. We hear a lot about AI in the context of phishing attacks, right? And how Gen AI and deepfakes have the potential to make phishing attacks better and more effective by doing social engineering more realistically. So looks and sounds like a real person, sort of like we were joking about before. But we're also seeing tools in response that use Gen AI to make fraudulent communication recognition more effective. So there's this really direct response, you know, kind of think of it as fighting fire with fire. A similar example, you know, we know about examples of Gen AI tools and deepfakes creating synthetic IDs that are harder for humans to recognize as fraudulent, but Gen AI tools are able to learn much more quickly to detect those Gen AI created IDs. So using, you know, keeping up with Gen AI fraud using Gen AI tools. On a slightly less nefarious, much less nefarious actually use case, chatbots are a great example of AI tools that a lot of banks are using. And as consumers, we interact with all the time. So the benefit for the FI is being able to streamline customer support and call center operations and also flex to meet volume really quickly and easily. And of course, as the AI technology is getting better and better, the customer experience interacting with it gets better as well. One thing that's interesting about Gen AI technology is that it's able to match tone in written communications pretty well. So think about that for a second. We as humans aren't great at matching tone in text messages. Wires get crossed all the time. So when we think about the technology improving, it's not just the responses getting more accurate. It's also a more natural seeming interaction that seems like talking to a human who's really good at understanding written subtext.
So personalization, right? The notion that the bot that you're talking to not only sounds, feels like a human, although there's the whole uncanny valley syndrome, also that it has access to the data, your data or the bank's data or what have you, that can make it useful, right? Because right. We've all had the experience of typing something into a chatbot and realizing that, well, you know, this chatbot has basically five predetermined answers, you know, and after it gets through those five, there's really, it can't be of any use. But this generation of chatbots, once adapted to banking and payments, hopefully, you know, we will see them much more personalized so that you really feel like you are talking to someone who works for the bank and can give you a useful experience, right? That's the hope.
Exactly. You know, it's trying to avoid the experience of, you know, pressing operator and screaming operator into the automated phone answering service.
Yeah. One of the areas, just to give a little background on, you know, Volante and AI, right? So we have been probably for a year and a half now, looking quite closely at applications of AI in the specific area of payments in which we operate, and which is B2B or account-to-account payments. And one of the use cases that we're finding quite interesting is, for example, with message transformation, ISO 20022 migration. Like if you think about the areas of friction in payments or in payments modernization, often it has to do with legacy systems with old formats, trying to convert them to new formats, trying to get one system to understand the message type for a payment, right? Is this a beneficiary? Is this a recipient? And so on. And so increasingly, it's becoming possible to do these mappings, which used to be done by coding or hand coding, right, where you had to write code to transform field 35 into field 50 or whatever. Now you can have a bot, an AI algorithm, basically look at the data and say, well, this looks like a wire payment, this looks like an international payment, and so forth. And that can be used not just for transforming the message, but also for routing, right? So in cases where we want to get to a smart routing of payments world, where somebody can say, hey, I just want this payment to get the FedEx model, right? I want this payment to get to a particular destination at a particular time. AI is, I think, quite well suited to making that decision. Any thoughts about that? Does that resonate with you in terms of some of the use cases you've seen as well?
No, absolutely. I think that, and you bring it up, using AI tools for process automation is huge.
That's another word or term, process automation, exactly.
Yeah, and I think you were getting at too in terms of taking a job that a human would either do manually or have to code to and sort of handing it off to an AI tool. Customer service, like we talked about as an example, but there are so many other internal business processes that can benefit from intelligent automation and, you know, freeing up workers to take on more strategic tasks. Of course, we've talked about fraud a lot. A lot of the fraud and scams that get attention in the press are targeting consumers, but businesses are certainly not immune from attacks by fraudsters. And there's lots of interesting AI tools being developed for those applications. Specifically thinking of payments, so one area that can benefit from automation is regulation compliance. So think about NACHA or think about the card network rules. And these get updated periodically. I think a great use of AI tools is both ingesting the updated regulations so you know that you're following the right rules, and then also putting in those process updates or QA checkpoints to ensure that the process remains compliant as those regulations change.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting because there are two parts to that, right? One is when the regulations change, you have to update your system, which can be onerous, right, for many banks, particularly if they have homegrown custom systems. But even where they have vendor systems, it can be a challenge because then they're on the vendor's timeline, right? But even before you get to, oh, something has changed, we have to comply, there is that initial step, perhaps particularly when it's a new payment type, like FedNow or RTP or SEPA Instant or what have you, where you have to connect to the rail first, right? And that means updating your systems in your financial institutions to handle all of these new messages, all of these new payment types. Again, that's typically something that's vendor dependent. But another thing that we're looking at in Volante is the ability using AI to really speed up new rail development. So when the UK, for example, let's take the UK as an example, they have recently released a new payments vision. And part of that, we understand, is that systems like faster payments, backstops, and so on will all be reinvented on an ISO 20022 backbone and maybe other features added as well, which means that banks will have to update their systems, vendors will have to update their systems, and so on. And the ability, as more and more of these clearing and settlement systems migrate to ISO 20022, the ability to very quickly adapt and build entirely new rails or adapt to new rail requirements, I think that's a place where AI can have an outsized impact, right, in terms of simplifying the complexity of payments modernization for FIs.
Absolutely. Or even just pointing out, you know, where the action items are, what the changes are, and being able to ingest and compare to rule books very quickly.
That's right. That's right. Now, we spent a little time on what we'll call the upsides, the opportunities of AI, right? We don't want to get on too much of a down note, but there are reasonable concerns, right, about the application of this new technology to something that is heavily regulated and has been around for a while, namely payments. So let's dive into that a little bit. What are you seeing as some of those problem areas, the pitfalls, if you will?
Yeah. So look, it's early days, right? And what I'm about to say isn't unique to payments or banks or the payments industry. This is, I think, for all of us, just working alongside this new technology. There's still a lot of trust but verify with AI output. So check your sources. Where is this information coming from? Is the source material correct? For those of us who are old enough to remember this, it's like the early days of consumer internet when at least my teachers made sure everyone was very thorough in citing multiple sources for anything you found online and drumming into your head, you know, Wikipedia is not a source for a research paper. So make sure you know where these reference points are coming from. An answer is only as good as its data source. Another thing I would say trust by verify about is new Gen AI tools have the ability to generate content that is really believable, but that doesn't make it true. Gen AI can match tone in written communications. They can come up with answers and draw really interesting connections that you might not think of. But again, just because something AI produced looks and sounds and smells and feels really realistic and believable, it doesn't make it true. So we all have to remember to approach AI content with some skepticism and, you know, so to speak, check its work. You know, the AI can train itself, but it's not necessarily training itself in the direction you want it to go in. So it's important still to keep at this point in time, this might change in the future, but where we are today, it's still important to keep an eye on what's happening periodically and not take your hands off the wheel completely.
Yeah. And I guess where this is actually going, right, is that it's almost an arms race where you have one set of AIs that is producing and generating. Mm-hmm. And actually then it's another set of AIs that is checking. Right. Because it's difficult for a human, I think, to look at an output from artificial intelligence and really figure out, is this accurate or not? Because you would have to kind of go through the whole analytical process yourself. Whereas if you have, you know, a verification bot as well, right? Just sort of like you could think of it as a spell checker on steroids, that is looking at the data and applying AI techniques again to make sure that it's valid. That's something I think we're already starting to see. I want to talk a little bit about data because we referenced that in terms of the drivers, that there is all this data out there. Mm-hmm. And that's true in the consumer world and the retail world where most of the data is quite literally out there, right? ChatGPT or Anthropic can just scour the internet. But mm-hmm. when it comes to payments data, you know, this is interesting because payments data is not quite as locked down as healthcare data, right? For healthcare mm-hmm. data, we have HIPAA, and it's very carefully ring-fenced. Payments data is as well, but it tends to be ring-fenced more from inside a bank perspective, right? So can we talk a little bit about that, right? How can we really unleash the power of AI on data if it's the case that most of the data is locked up in individual banks or financial institutions? You know, does it really work? The kind of algorithms that have proven useful in other areas?
That's a great question because, you know, on the one hand, payments data is locked up to a degree. There's PCI standards, but as we know, there are hacks all the time and private data doesn't stay private forever. So there's a lot more data out there than any of us have consented to or actively put out there ourselves. Look, for an AI model, a Gen AI, more data is better, but I think there's plenty out there with different, if you think about tracking cookies, all of the things we do in a digital manner right now, direct marketing list, purchase history. You don't necessarily need PCI data to know enough about you for a Gen AI technology to piece together enough about a person to be able to make pretty good recommendations about here are some other transactions they might make. Does this look like transaction places they've shopped before? Does this look like the kinds of businesses they've interacted with before? So do we think it really is them? Do we think it's not really them? Are they a high-risk shopper? Are they a high-risk seller? So I think even with banks keeping their data siloed from one another, there's still a lot out there for AI tools to use.
We've covered a good bit of ground, and I want to make sure that before we close, that you have the opportunity to, you know, if you have one piece of advice, right, for a financial institution looking at this daunting journey, you know, to becoming AI aware, AI expert, what would that be?
Yeah, so I work in consulting, and we talk to clients and organizations all the time who about AI strategy. And more often than not, everyone is concerned that they're, I wouldn't say everyone, many people are concerned that they're behind the curve and missing the boat on AI. So that's my first piece of advice. It's mathematically impossible that everyone is the last person to arrive at the game. So I hope that's a little reassuring. The second piece of advice I'd give is to treat this as a business problem. You know, Gen AI tools are doing really cool things right now, and it can be so tempting to grab a piece of technology and then figure out how to use it. But of course, that's backwards. And hopefully you can find an existing problem for the solution that you just invested in. But you really have to hope you didn't, you don't have to now go and create a problem for that solution to fix. So remember, AI is technology. It's not an ends in itself, but it's a really powerful technology that can give a lot of horsepower to the solutions and the tools that employ it. So the approach I'd recommend is identify the pain points in your business. Where are you getting stuck? Where do you consistently not have enough resources? What processes do you still have in place that don't really make a lot of sense and you know you need to streamline? And then from there, you can start identifying opportunities for automation and then start looking for the AI tools to help solve those problems.
Samantha Gordon, thank you so much for joining us. I've been speaking to Samantha Gordon of Glenbrook Partners about AI and B2B and corporate payments, about whether the robots are taking over. And I'm not sure that we have a definitive answer to that as yet.
Maybe not.
We're certainly on the way to understanding that. So once again, Samantha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hope you enjoyed that episode of Volante Elevate, where we explore what the world of payments will look like tomorrow by talking to the experts who are building it today. Subscribe to Volante Elevate on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Podbean, or visit us on www.volantetech.com/elevate.